Fourth and final hour, Darren Donick and Chase. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth here on this Monday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McKay with you now. Josh Kendall covers the Gamecocks for The Athletic. South Carolina going back and forth, back and forth. And Oxford against Ole Miss on Saturday night until it finally got away from them. And the Rebels hang 59 on Will Muschamp and company. And then South Carolina decided to part ways and move on from Will Muschamp. And Josh is here to discuss all that. Josh, thanks for doing this. And did you see this coming no matter what happened on Saturday, or was this a bit of a surprise?
Not no matter what happened. I think it would have been difficult for them to fire him yesterday if they had won on Saturday. I don't think it would have changed the long term, as in the end of the season outcome. But I don't think they would have fired him coming off of a win. So if they could close that game out, I think Will Muschamp would still be coaching today. But I'm not sure, and I just don't think it would have changed the outcome for heading into 2021.
Everybody thought coaches were going to get a COVID pass, so to speak, in 2020. Well, that is not the case in Columbia. Ultimately, why do you think we reached this point where we're talking about this today?
And I've got to admit, I was right there at the front of that line, and I've been saying it loudly and wrongly all year long, most of the year, that I just thought that given the reality of the world, which is the reality of the world, there is a literal pandemic going on. South Carolina is literally going to be $40 million plus short of its budget goals, and a lot of other people are too. I thought this was not going to be the time you change coaches. What I forgot is that this is still the SEC, and the SEC proves time and time again that number one on the list of goals is to win football games. And if you don't win football games, it does not matter what else is happening. There's going to be a change. So, graduating players does not change that. Being a good guy does not change that. Loving the university and bleeding garnet or bleeding orange and blue or whatever does not change that. It's about winning football games. Will Muschamp didn't win enough.
Did he check all those other boxes that you said?
Oh, absolutely.
Other than the winning?
Yeah, this team has not had a whiff of any impropriety off the field. His players almost universally love him and defend him. Will tell you that he cares about them off the field and all the things he's done for him. Hayden Hurst, the Falcons tight end, who has been very public about his battles with mental illness, had some particularly heartfelt stuff to say yesterday about how Will really helped him when he went through a very tough time when he was here. Lots of stories like that immediately pop up about Will, same as they did at Florida. Yeah, this is, and Ray Tanner, who fired him yesterday evening in his office, was torn up about it because Ray knows that of all these other things. But Ray also knows, and we all know, and even though some of us like me forget, from time to time, it doesn't matter unless you win.
Why was the move necessary now as opposed to when this season ended?
Two things. The fan base was in danger of just kind of giving up on them, which can also be an expensive proposition in the long run in dollars and cents. And there began to be some real concerns about just holding this thing together for three more weeks in its current itineration. They not only lost three in a row, they lost in really demoralizing fashion. They gave 159 points in 3 weeks. They'd never done that before in program history, but a lot of programs haven't done it still. They just looked really bad. And so I think that there was a concern that if you don't beat Missouri on Saturday, which might be your last chance for a win, and then you got embarrassed against Georgia, I mean, does it eventually just come apart under its own weight? So they felt like a decision was something had to be done, and so they were going to go ahead and do it. This puts them as the first Power Five school in line for a coach. That's probably helpful. So I think those are the biggest factors.
With that in mind, Josh, do you think as they make this move, they have their target? Because I think that's an important point, that when the earlier you make the move, the advantage you have is you don't have to keep a secret that you're out looking around. So where do you think the arrows are pointing? Do you think they have a clear first choice?
I don't think that they do, but I'm going to say this. I think that this will be one of the toughest SEC coaching searches to forecast in recent memory, because I think that the university president, Bob Caslin, who's not an SEC guy, came to the school formerly the superintendent of West Point, was very involved in hiring Jeff Monken there. He's going to be the guy, I think, that is going to, really power this search and probably make the final decision. So he's not connected to the traditional powers that be in the league. So if he does have somebody specific in mind, he certainly has not tipped his hand to that. I don't think he does, but, you know, it may be that I think we've probably in all of our giant lists somewhere named South Carolina's next head coach already. But if you told me, you guys don't have a clue, this is coming completely off the board, that wouldn't shock me.
Talking to Josh Kendall, he covers South Carolina for The Athletic. So, Josh, do you think they're open to the idea of Hugh Freeze, or do you think the baggage is just too much?
Ray Tanner, I was asked specifically about Hugh Freeze today, and it said nobody would be ruled out. But I think the baggage is a lot. I think that South Carolina, I don't think that would be a hire that Ray Tanner would want to make. I don't think that would be a hire that the former superintendent of West Point, a guy who just published a book called Winning with Character or something of the like, would lean toward. I think that Hugh Freeze is a long shot for the South Carolina job. But again, let's circle back around to the fact that I was the guy saying very publicly that you can't fire a football coach in the middle of a pandemic, forgetting that, you know, at the end of the day, the SEC cares about winning football games first, and there's nothing else in second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth place.
I heard, I was reading some of the comments from Ray Tanner. One of them that I think got some attention was he's looking for somebody maybe with an offensive mind. So Steve Sarkisian, to me, is also an intriguing guy within the league. Your thoughts on him?
Absolutely. I think that Sarkisian is going to get a lot of interest from a lot of people. I do think that we're at the end of the cycle of defensive head coaches. I wonder if, ironically, if being a Nick Saban guy is going to be a strike against Sarkisian here, at least, because they're just coming off of a Nick Saban guy. I think universally a little bit, some of the bloom is coming off of that rose of the Nick Saban guys. So, but Steve Sarkisian, you know, really stood on his own before Nick Saban, clearly is an excellent offensive football coach. He gets a shot somewhere. I think he would be a really good hire for South Carolina if they can get him.
Josh Kendall is with us from The Athletic talking South Carolina. So does, in your mind, Mike Bobo taking over as the interim, does he have any type of shot at potentially landing this job, or is this simply just to finish the year?
This is simply just to finish the year. I don't think he has any chance. I don't think he has any real illusion that he has any chance. This is a program that needs a fresh start. Ray Tanner made that, you know, much clearer when he talked about how important passion, enthusiasm, fun were for his next head coach. That's nothing against Mike. It's just that, you know, this is one of those cases in a lot of coaching changes, you see somebody is held over because they have a certain tie to this guy, they have a certain tie to this recruiting region. That might happen here, but you also could see a situation here where it's completely new personnel, you know, on the coaching staff next year.
I think, you know, living here in Nashville and covering Vanderbilt, you always have to ask, okay, what's realistic? What is a realistic goal for Vanderbilt football? So I'll ask you the same thing about South Carolina. Whoever the next coach is, what do you think is realistic when it comes to being successful at that job?
Well, that's a question South Carolina's got to ask itself, and I think it's important how they answer it. I think the fact that they've just built a $50 million football facility is an indication that they believe, or at least they've sold to their boosters, that they believe that they can be an elite football program in the country. But it's harder than just building giant buildings. That's part of it, but that's not the most important part of it. And, you know, I just don't know that South Carolina has all the ingredients it needs to be a perennial contender. It does not have a locked-in geographic recruiting base like Georgia and Florida do, who they have to contend with every year. It doesn't have the name recognition and the brand power that Georgia and Florida and now Clemson do that it has to compete with. I think that South Carolina would be better in the long run to set its sights on being an 8-4, 9-3 football team every year, where every few cycles you have a legitimate shot to play in Atlanta. I think that it might – I don't think it has served South Carolina well – to try to be something that it can't realistically be over the long term.
To me, I believe that, you know, Will Muschamp, he's used up all his chances as head coach in the SEC, but do you see him sticking around as a coordinator somewhere?
I do. I think he really likes to coach. I think a lot of these guys really like to coach and get almost addicted to the lifestyle because they just really enjoy the job and every part of the job. I think Will's one of those guys. He likes to coach. He could take a year off. He could take the rest of his life off and live on an island. I mean, he's made enough money. But he could have taken a year off after Florida, too, and he went right back to work. He likes it. He'll coach again pretty quickly, I would imagine.
I know we're asking you, you know, a lot of things can happen, but we're just asking you today to wrap this up with, what's your best guess? What do you think is realistic today? Like I said, subject to change, who would you put atop the list?
Well, it's a crowded field, and there's no runaway betting favorite. If you had to just, you know, I think the slight favorite is Billy Napier, because he checks a lot of boxes, because he's very gettable, because he has ties to the region, because he would be a good hire. You know, everything else is either a long shot because South Carolina might not be able to get that person, or a long shot because South Carolina might not want that person or be happy ending up with that person. When you sort through all of that, you know, there are no strikes against Billy Napier. So I think for the moment, that puts him at the top of the list. But we're still early in primary season here. I don't think we've gotten to the general election yet on this thing.
Josh, good stuff. Really appreciate the visit. It will be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Josh Kendall, covers the Gamecocks for The Athletic. Billy Napier, that's an interesting name,
yeah.
And I think it's a good one to throw out there. We'll talk about this on the other side. Like, can you have sustained success there? It's not about one-off. And is South Carolina also one of those fan bases in this conference that we've talked about where at times they get unrealistic what they are year in and year out, right? We'll get into all that on the other side. With Week 10 of football almost in the books, you've got the Bears and the Vikings tonight. It is time for you to start reviewing the tape and getting ready for Week 11 like I'm doing, like starting with Arizona and Seattle on Thursday night in the NFL. I think that is a really intriguing matchup, and hopefully a lot more college games this upcoming Saturday. There's no better place to get in on all the action than DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To do is add the excitement of Week 11. DraftKings Sportsbook is going to bring back your can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, you've heard me talking about it, you need to head to the App Store right now, and you don't want to miss out on this, okay? You want to download that DraftKings Sportsbook app, and it's going to give all new users the chance to earn a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000 when you sign up and use the promo code 1025GAME. So if you're trying to try it out for the first time this week, download the Sportsbook app at DraftKings. Use that code 1025THEGAME, and they're going to give you the opportunity to earn up to $1,000. Yeah, how about that as a sign-up bonus? Also, if maybe football isn't for you, or you would like to dabble in some MMA, you know, for all you MMA fans out there, I bet you can sign up now. The chance to win triple your winnings for any bet placed on UFC 255. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code 1025THEGAME, and when you sign up, you'll get up to $1,000. That code, 1025THEGAME, get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.